divot that shows where the O'Shaughnessys live because the matter was basically linked to them, and they are a neighbor to the property.
Okay.
So
we'll admit the emails are the email as
right.
33, and then the additional exhibit on location, I guess, is 34.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And it's just an aerial, just showing where their house is.
Okay. Well those are both admitted.
So we have the PowerPoint is Exhibit 33.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 32.
Oh.
Unless my...
Staff presentation, yeah.
Staff, yeah, that's it.
Amanda's ahead of us here in the game.
Yeah.
And then the letter, 33.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And then the map, 34.
And map.
Unless you wanted to combine those.
They can combine, I think.
Okay,
for,
all right.
For
we'll put
purposes,
those, we'll,
yeah.
We'll put those both then as 33 then rather than.
Yeah. And then one more matter we have. I had asked Mr. Hancock regarding the health district approval.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do have a email from him and then the associated letter, if you will, from the health district. And essentially the health district has approved a draft site plan and also the septic drain field, but they couldn't provide the approval because the water hadn't been provided as a availability letter. But one of the issues was that it was going to cost $22,000 to provide water to the site. And
is that,
without,
is that for drilling, the well drilling and all that?
No, this was for public water. So the proposal will have public water to this property. So there'll be no well withdrawal or any of that.
Silverdale Water District.
Yes, yeah. Silverdale Water, correct. Mm-hmm. So we have a detail from the health district regarding that. So.
Okay, so they would get water from the water district. They just haven't gone through those procedures.
And it's available and all of that.
Okay.
They just didn't want to go through that whole procedure. If
until they were for sure.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and we're totally fine with that. It's absolutely no problem. And I have one more. We have...
and just one second. Oh. The health district, that'll be 34 then.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. And one more thing that I thought was beneficial to talk about the project is that when we have a variance, we have to demonstrate that there are projects that were nearby that had previously been approved, that have similar kinds of situations. And so I pulled up an aerial of a couple of projects that are right in the watershed and right adjacent, just one landowner away, actually. And so I have an aerial view of those and just a quick little note about them. One of them is a manufactured home that was built. Actually, this is the one that's nearest to the property. It's approximately 0.64 acres of developed area. And then in 2008, there was another property that also was built with an associated house and garage with its area of development, approximately 0.61 acres. So one of the things that we look at in a variance application is there something nearby? We're not asking for something that someone else doesn't have.
Right.
So I wanted to provide that because I thought it was would be beneficial to the application.
Okay, so that documentation will be Exhibit 35 then.
Excellent.
And that is admitted. And I think also the wetland consultant had provided some information on surrounding development as well.
Yes, no. They did, indeed. Yes. Okay. I think we'll just go through the PowerPoint here. See if I can do this. Uh-oh. Okay, gotcha. Let's see, and then I think I can go over here. There we are. Yay. Amanda, your technology is awesome. Here's some of the detail, the permit number, obviously, what we're here for, critical area variance. This variance is for two parcels. They're located here. There's no current address, but there's an adjacent house using that same driveway, and that address is 6800 Northwest Anderson Hill Road in Silverdale.
Isn't that the parcel? That's parcel one, the larger one that has the address.
Yeah. No. No parcel. None of the two properties have an address.
Oh, so none
yet.
Of them have that. Actually, that's just the 5600 is
yes.
Different. Okay.
Yes.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah. Let's see. So one thing to note is rather unusual is that this particular property, the streams, the associated streams, and the wetlands themselves as well, are within a closed basin. So there's no identified watershed in this particular case. The creeks aren't really identified or named that I'm aware of. But the watershed doesn't really go anywhere. It's a closed basin itself. And that's probably a relic of, you know, our glacial past. Geology note there.
Just meaning that there are depressions that were formed and
correct.
Somewhat isolated.
Yes. Here is the zoning map. It's rural residential. I noted in the staff report that nearby we do have a urban area, but it's quite a ways away. This is the subject property here, and it's highlighted. We can't see it too terribly well. And then this stream that's mapped here is not really correctly identified on the property, but later you'll see where the actual streams are. Again, rural residential, one unit per 5 acres. Here's the critical area map. Again, we have hydric soils, which are potential wetlands. When we see these on a map, we typically, as staff, ask for a wetland consultant report for any development. That was the case here as well. So we had, a requirement for a full wetland report. There is a stream on the property. Actually, there's two streams on the property. There's a stream, actually, that runs down the middle of this valley here. And then there's an associated ditch that basically demarks through these two parcels that are the subject. So this is the larger property to the north, the smaller property to the south, and the actual stream is right down the middle here and then comes off the site. So we'll see that here and again in a little bit better detail. Here's a GIS photo from the summer of 2017, again showing, I wanted to demonstrate that, and it's rather hard to see, but this is the furthest north extent of that creek. That everything flows to the south, actually, through the property. The same with this little stream here, and where the little ditch comes through. And then there's a little bit of a tributary coming from the other side of the road. Oh, actually, I think it's over here. That comes through the property. And this is just to kind of demonstrate this closed basin. This is how big the basin is. So I wanted to provide that as some context. Here's a winter view, so we can really see the demarcation between the conifer trees on the property and the deciduous trees. And then this is the roadway, the existing road, and then this is that one property off-site that actually has an address. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a large large wetland off-site, and then comes partially onto the property. You'll see in the next slide where that is. And then huge mosaic-type wetlands here, the forested wetland, that's on the larger parcel. And this is the delineation map that VG Environmental created as an exhibit. This is essentially laying out that wetland A, the larger wetland, is a Category 2 wetland, and wetland B, the smaller wetland, is a Category 3. But both wetlands have a 110-foot required buffer through going through the 2014 analysis. So the new recent analysis that's required through the Department of Ecology's rating system. The stream itself, that's located again in the center of the property, is an old farm ditch, and that particular stream requires a 150-foot buffer because even though this is a closed basin, both the Suquamish tribe and State Department of Fish and Wildlife felt that there was a potential presence, but probably of cutthroat trout. So whether or not they're anadromous or not, they're still a resource. So we essentially include them as requiring a 150-foot buffer, which is
sort of subject of conservative approach.
Correct. Yes. Here's a historic photo. One of the things that's very interesting about this property is that it was a farmed property, farmed probably at the turn of the last century. And then, of course, we've taken the associated large subdivision off of Anderson Hill Road to the south here through Hearing in the past, the creeks associated with that particular proposal were identified as non-fish creeks, but they come into the subject property in a little ravine through here. And then again, there's a little tributary that comes off from the north through the property. This, again, is the project area. The developed area is in this red line through here, the project area. So we'll see that in the next phase. This is where that big, large off-site wetland complex is located. We typically allow a roadway, associated roadway or driveway, it's been established for years, to act as a buffer break. So that particular wetland, there will be no real impact to the development because the road separates, it provides a buffer break between the offsite wetland to the west and the subject property. So that's how this was analyzed.
And the offsite kind of mosaic of wetlands that's outside the project area, they, they cover a large part of that larger piece.
Very large part of the property, So it would be an excellent candidate for the county's open space program, for instance. Here we, I just wanted to provide a panel about the mitigation sequencing that was done for this property. Again, we're talking about developing two properties. They're very similar. I wanted to hit a little bit on the previous farming, because that previous farming activity, although ceased and became fallow, what ended up happening was that the property became almost totally, I hate to use the word immersed, but essentially Scott's broom came into this essentially old farm disturbed site, and the entire property was, it was, you know.
It's not high quality habitat, I guess not what you're trying to say.
Not high quality habitat, exactly. So the wetland consultant pulled together a really good mitigation measure, sequencing, the concepts of avoidance, minimization, rectifying the impact, and then talking about also reducing or eliminating the impact over time. And that is where we're talking about an active weed management program that's going to go on with this property. Once the weed management occurs, then there'll be the restoration kinds of activities that will happen. And here is the northern property. Here we see a proposed site plan with a residence, associated drain field. This is the buffer restoration area, the plants that are proposed for that area, and then the buffer restoration measures that will occur, essentially reducing that particular wetland buffer to a 50-foot buffer in this particular case. And the fish type creek, again, we're reducing that particular buffer to 75 feet. That 75-foot stream buffer would be acceptable under a type 2 critical area buffer reduction in our permit review. Essentially, what we're really looking at today is about the wetland. However, we've analyzed for the stream as well in this case.
So is it correct to say that the two variances are consolidated under just because under the hearing examiner roof?
Yes.
Both of them? Okay.
Yes, exactly. Right. There we go. And then here's the southern site. Anderson Hill Road is right here. And so the access will be off that same driveway. And a residence built here. Drain field located away from, again, away from the wetland. And then the installation of a split rail fence on the buffer line. Right on the buffer line. And then we have an associated building setback as well with this. Again, similar planting. And then, of course, that methodology that's going to be used to get rid of that Scott's broom. Here's some photos. This is after this is the wetland A area. This is some spirea that's on site. And this is a wetland plant. And then this is the area where it was recently mowed. This was Scotch broom. I think the Scotch broom was, 8 to 10 feet tall, established for quite a while. And then wetland B, you'll see, is really rather nice and intact. And it's a kind of a shrub type of wetland. That's the smaller wetland that's to the west. Here is a photo when we had done the site visit. You can see a little bit of the Scott's broom coming up here, but most of this has that, you know, that appearance and still really good pasture grasses that are in there. So I think they'll provide a good cover, you know, for the restoration activity to occur. We have some stakes that are here shown in the aerial here as well. These stakes are all marked out for the proposed house, and buffers are all marked and everything. So it's all marked and ready for our wetland signs to be placed on the split rail fencing. That's our typical requirement. That would obviously be done at time of site development activity permit or building permit. And I want to include this photo here. You'll see this is some of the existing fruit trees that are on the property. This is the northern property, the larger piece, and these provide that idea that, you know, this was a homestead established long, long ago, and these trees are something that Mr. Hancock had talked to me out in the field that he wants to restore them as well. I thought that was what was really, really going to be beneficial. I think that might be it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This may be a question for the applicant. I just wanted to confirm there was some. You may not have the numbers at your fingertips, but the revised wetland report mentioned the net developable acreage at about 14,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And then said which about a third of an acre.
Yes.
And then said minus critical areas and buffer, but it sounded like, but I wasn't clear on. Whether that one third of acre is that for both the parcels, or is it from? I just wanted some clarification on that.
As I understand it, would be for each parcel. So
each parcel has about
Have about a third of an acre.
Okay, and is that after the critical areas get taken out and the buffers are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
so gotcha. That kind of net developable area, if you will.
After you take out for the would be the buffers.
Correct.
Before the variance.
Yeah. That's,
gotcha.
Yeah,
okay. That's right. That sounds about right.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I did want to clarify the square footage, and again, you might not have this in your fingerprints, but it looked like parcel one, they were 5,305 square feet, and they, is that correct? And they have a certain amount of living space, 2,167, a garage, 2,880, and then a covered patio, 2,58. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think if the applicant's here, if you can just double check.
Yeah, we can probably clarify that. That would be good, yeah.
Okay, and then parcel two, it looked like it was 2,220 square foot of, they said rooftop, so I assume they mean kind of a
impervious surface, if you will. Yeah.
Okay. And then it plus driveway access and parking areas.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I had read all that correctly.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my only question.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Great. Thank you. Obviously, you know, we went through the analysis. I wanted to talk real quickly about the letter that we had received that had a concern, I think, about water quality, but I couldn't really understand. And then we never really heard anything else from Mr. Stanfill. So so I thought, well, I'll provide that one exhibit and kind of talk about the fact that the Shaughnessys live up on a hill above this project. And so really the only water quality issue will be, you know, the drain fields that will be associated with the new development. And as they're separated and essentially approved by the health district, just pending their water quality certification, you know, the health district has reviewed that, and, you know, they're the agency responsible for the water quality you know, standards and treatments, et cetera, and so forth. So so just a point, you know, to say we don't expect to be any offsite impacts whatsoever on this. And in fact, when the buffer is restored, there'll be a net benefit, you know, to the environment here once this is all done. So we really feel that these pieces you know, fully all meet the variance criteria for each one of the two properties. And we do recommend approval based on really, really well-rounded mitigation proposal for the properties.
Okay. And on the elevation, you're referring to the email from Mr. Stanfield.
Yes.
Earlier. He lives, his elevation is above the...
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they're located just to the east of the property in a short plat that was done sometime in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. So is the applicant here for the... Yes, if you could step forward. Good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
Michael Hancock.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
I did want to ask you, have you had a chance to review the staff report? And do you have any questions or concerns with the conditions that are proposed? Are you comfortable with them?
I'm comfortable with them.
Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And is there anything that you wanted to add to what the planning department had stated about their proposal? It's a pretty thorough summary, and I have reviewed the record.
But. It is a thorough summary, and I appreciate that. I thought I'd give you a little background about how this whole project came to be. The property was for sale for quite a long time, and I went and looked at it and thought, wow, this would really be a pretty cool place to live. I didn't need all that property. It was obviously, there were two pieces there. We did a boundary line adjustment to create a 15-acre parcel and a 5-acre parcel. It used to be a 6-acre piece and then a larger piece, so we adjusted the boundary line basically so that we could create building sites on the only two areas in the entire 20 acres that were buildable, were usable.
So it's pretty, Mr. Heacock had talked about kind of the wetlands present on the remainder of the parcel. It sounds like it's fairly well inundated.
It definitely is. I wish I could have grown up there and spent time playing in that wooded wetland area. It's pretty cool over there. But I thought I'd give you some background, I guess, about what I went through before even making the proposal to determine whether or not the property could ever be usable. And so I first started by looking at Chapter 17 of the land use table. The property zoned rural residential, as was indicated, which is one dwelling unit per 5 acres. Which is why we did the boundary line adjustment and made a 5-acre lot. Under the permitted uses is a single-family dwelling. That's under Chapter 17, 410, 042, 124. Chapter 19, 150, under definitions, describes a single-family dwelling, attached or detached, as a building or structure that is designed for occupancy by not more than one family and including accessory structures and improvements. So it looked like, you know, so far so good. Chapter 19-100, obviously this is the critical areas ordinance, and it sets out that the purpose is to protect the functions and values of the wetlands, fish and wildlife habitat, conservation areas, etc. And in Section 19-100-105B4 further demonstrates these goals while allowing for the reasonable use and protection of property rights as provided for in state and federal law. So I'm going through this process thinking, okay, we're all still good. 19-100-105B7 says guide development proposals to the most environmentally suitable and stable portion of the development site. And the proposed developments are in the only areas of the properties that will support a single family dwelling, required drain fields, and a modest front, rear, and side yard. Then 19-100-105V12 indicates whenever mitigation is required, pursue as a preferred option restoration and enhancement of previously impacted critical areas and their buffers. And we're not impacting the critical area, we're only asking to reduce the buffer in order to be able to use the property. And as Steve mentioned, our wetlands biologist has spent a lot of time, we've spent almost 2 years on this process, developing a really nice mitigation plan, albeit very expensive, but it is what it is. Chapter 19-100-135 under variances, paragraphs 1-6 describes under what criteria a variance can be granted, and my application meets all of these criteria. Chapter 19-100-120A sets out the parameters for evaluating a request for a development proposal. It shall be the responsibility of development to determine the following, which includes whether it is necessary for the applicant to seek a variance or other exception. Since I needed to reduce the buffers and related setbacks to a point that was lower than the administrative threshold in order to support the single-family residence and the associated drain fields, which has been pointed out have already been approved by the health district, along with the reasonable yard areas, I proceeded with the variance application. Staff agreed, Steve agreed, we were on site and talked about this. Pursuant to Chapter 19-100-135A2, Lot 2, the lot area created by the variance is to accommodate the use. The use is not to accommodate the variance. So when you go back and you look at the use table in a single-family residence with there's no restriction on size, shape, color, any of that, then the variance is intended to accommodate that use. So the code's explicit in its direction that the building envelope created by the variance to accommodate the use is what is to be accomplished by the variance request. And the reason to request a variance for both parcels at the same time was to create these building envelopes similar to what would be created by a preliminary plat application and have the owners of either lot to have predictability and knowing that we've already been through this process. And as long as what they build will fit inside the building envelope created by the variance, then they should be able to get a building permit and build that. We were required to put boxes on the site plan, but I have no idea, especially in the front parcel, because I don't intend to build on that property. I wanted to be able to sell that to help mitigate for myself the cost of the mitigation. I don't know what they're going to build there. Could be a small rambler, it could be a big two-story house. Really shouldn't matter as long as it all fits inside the lot area that we're creating by the variance and the associated 15-foot impervious surface buffer.
Okay, so the square footage figures that I'd referenced earlier, those are conceptual. I mean, it's probably going to be roughly around those, but not necessarily exact.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And to kind of address the water quality issue, beside the health district approval, we will be required to and have actually submitted preliminary engineered drainage plans, which are specifically meant to address water quality from the surface water that's going to be created by the impervious surfaces. And there'll have to be a final engineered drainage plan submitted for the building permit application. So I think kind of boxed into where we're going to get all that is going to be taken care of before anything is built there. So in conclusion, the request meets all of the criteria set forth in the variance ordinance, and public health, safety, and welfare will be maintained by the granting of the variance. And so I'm going to ask that you approve the application and the staff recommendations and conditions.
Thank you. Just one clarification question. On the property owner address, should it be the one in the staff report, the East Old Ranch, to use for the for
yes.
for you? Okay, all right. There's a different address in the wetland report, so I just wanted to confirm that.
Yes,
okay.
I had intended on living on this property by now, and I sold my other house, and I had to have somewhere to go. So
okay, so just use okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to confirm that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Anything
else,
sir? Nope. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comments. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to testify on this proposal? Yes. Looks like we have it. Do we have a sign-in sheet? Okay. You go ahead and step forward, though. Good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
Beverly McQuarrie.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And just to confirm the spelling on your name, it looks like you are on the sign-up sheet. It's M-C-Q-U-E-A-R-Y?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to bring up the map that shows. I can show my property, you know.
Let's see here. There we go. I think it's at the beginning. Well, this
this one isn't bad, is it? Oh, no. I know. There's one. Well, there's this one is way there. Out there.
That's good.
That's not bad here. And I think you're
right there.
Here, right? Yeah. Right.
And I'm here to talk about the stream that runs right through here and then across the property. It is not an old drainage ditch. It is a fish stream. Kitsap, 10 years ago with the development to the south, I argued that it was a fish stream. Kitsap County insisted that it was a drainage ditch. We were going to try to log our property for our retirement, and this summer the state came out and said, no, it is a fish stream. It had previously been designated type N in 2009, but now it is type F, so we're restricted pretty significantly from what we can do. And we have the headwaters to that stream are in the middle of our forest. The stream runs north across the property. It's a meandering creek. It has never been ditched out. The farm drainage ditches generally ran north to south, no, east to west, and north to south. They dug their ditches in a straight line. This is a meandering stream. And there's just been significant damage already to the wetlands around this stream. We haven't cleared anything, but all of our wetland buffers that extended to the north have been destroyed, completely wiped out. There were no conditions for any protection for the developer. I don't like to see just the small property owners have to pay the price, but I'd like this county to get this stream straight. It is not a drainage ditch. The streams do not run south. They run north. I'm not really for or against a proposal. I just want to make sure that we correctly type the stream and we protect these wetlands. We're surrounded by development and all the water runoff. I've already noticed that we don't hear the tree frogs chorus anymore during their mating season from pesticide runoff. And we are downhill from the wetlands. So if anything flows, our drainage is to the road and the ditches. So I just want to protect the wetlands, protect the stream. Hopefully the drainage, the septic systems do not drain into the wetlands. Ours drain away from it. But I just don't like to hear the county say it's a drainage ditch. It's a stream. Their headwaters are at our property. It's a natural spring. There's natural springs all over. There's a natural spring and an artesian well in the middle of where those houses are being built to the north. It's unfortunate that only the private property owners have to protect these wetlands, but that's just the way it is. But the state DNR has come out and said that this is a fish stream. I have photos. My great-grandfather homesteaded this property. You're right. It was a homestead. Right here is where the original house was. And then that was farm. And that is a stream that was originally there. I have photos 100 years old that show that stream meandering through the field. And I just...
And I think this
want to see the protections of the stream. It's not a drainage ditch.
The technical analysis that I've reviewed does type it as a type F and does not refer to it as a drainage ditch. So I believe that's been correctly reflected in the record.
Yeah. As long as it's in the records. I wasn't able to see the staff report. It wasn't online, so I didn't see any of that. But just what was said now, it's not a drainage ditch. And unfortunately, just a few of us have to respect that it's a fish stream now. It's just horrific to see the destruction that's gone on right next to the headwaters of this stream. So
I don't know about other development, but on this project, there was in addition to the staff report, there was a technical analysis that was submitted by a wetlands consultant, and that addressed this.
I just want to make sure that it is recognized as a fish stream, and that it is protected. That's about it.
Okay.
I'm not really, I'm neutral on the house building.
You just want to make sure the stream's correctly typed in. Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public who wished to testify on this proposal? I'll let the record reflect that there was not anyone else here who wished to provide testimony. Anything else from the applicant on this?
I agree with the last speaker that this area needs to be protected, and building two houses on 20 acres is a minimal impact on this property, and I think we have built in substantial protections for the stream and the associated wetlands while being able to do this. And as she pointed out, right across the street, there's 5 to 7 units per acre being built right adjacent to the wetland, and there has been some impact there, but us as property owners to the north of Anderson Hill are doing what we can to protect that area.
This development's clearly been designed to locate it on the part of the parcels that are most amenable to development and furthest away from the critical areas.
Sure. And from a historical perspective, what I've learned from the gentleman that lives in the house to the north of my property, his first name is June. He's been there, I think he said, 36 years. There used to be fish in that stream because he and his brother-in-law dug a pond behind his house and stocked it with cutthroat. And then the herons came in and ate them all. And he said he hasn't seen a fish in anywhere in that property for over 10 years, about the time that his wife passed away. He's been there single ever since then. But he takes full credit for being the one that introduced fish to that area, and I don't know that there are still any there, but since it is capable of sustaining fish, that's why it's been typed that way, and we've gone to the degree that we have to protect it.
Now, it looks like your consultant they also consulted with, I think, the Squamish Tribe and WFW as well. There's some documentation in the record.
We all did
that.
A site visit.
Yeah.
They walked the whole property and concurred on the
typing and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Heacock, anything further?
I will pop up.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm going to pull up this different. I don't know if that's very good.
I just wanted to talk about that past development. Well, let's see. Let me get this other aerial. This development that occurred, and this was done, I'm trying to think, maybe about 2009 or so. A Suquamish tribal biologist had actually stream typed that developed area to the south, and they had done fish shocking and all that kind of thing. And then that property, as it's further south, was determined that there was no fish, no presence of fish. We already were trying to argue for that property that this still had qualifications for fish. Typing, if you will, and all our maps showed that it had a potential for fish. So, you know, we certainly felt that that was, something that was up to the tribe and Fish and Wildlife to provide a result, if you will, of that development. And so, as the tribal biologist had shocked it, determined no fish type, no fish presence, that particular development was able to go through with vastly reduced buffers and that type of thing, and really based on its previous farm categorization and use and things like that. So the uplands, you know, are being developed right now, right adjacent, I think, to the McQuarrie's. And it's an old vested project, essentially, as you would see. But I would say that stream typing and a water type modification might be a good result here in this particular case to be able to say, hey, this is a fish type creek. There is a procedure with actually with State Department of Natural Resources. They're the agency that's responsible for water type modifications and for clarification. If there is a logging proposal, that typing does happen and then comes onto our maps every 6 months or so. We get reports from the state. They provide a new GIS map, and then we get those layers. So those particular layers then help us later to identify. But we always require a biologist report when there's any question about stream typing. And then what happens is that we'll create a site visit. And so we require a site visit with the resource agencies that are responsible for fishery use.
So the
Suquamish
here.
Tribe and State Department of Fish and Wildlife came out, did a site visit, determined that this had the qualification, even though they didn't see fish out on the site, that it meets the potential presence for fish and fish use. And so that's what they had done in the site visit. And then the staff report, the wetland report was revised then to reflect that particular investigation. And now we have, you know, I think a solid application and variance.
Yeah, I saw the revision. Yeah. And in addition to the reduced setback, you also have the building, the 15-foot building setback.
Yes,
yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I do think this property does present unique circumstances, clearly, with the extensive wetland present on both of the parcels. And a fair amount of work has been done to detail how the scope of the project will be minimized and put on the portions of the site that are most amenable to development. And I do think care has been taken to address the concerns that were raised on both water quality and to ensure that the stream typing was correctly done, and including with the site visit with the various agencies that have an interest in this particular area. So I do think the variance criteria have been met for this proposal, and there are conditions that the planning department has proposed that I think are appropriate to address the impacts and ensure that it proceeds consistent with code. So I will be approving the variance. Decision on this will be out within 10 business days. That will be forwarded to the planning department technically to the hearing examiner clerk, Ms. Walston, and then she'll distribute it to the planning department and any other parties of record, including the applicant. So are there any questions on procedure, any clarification? Okay. This matter is concluded, and we'll move to the second matter on the agenda, which is the conditional use permit for the ADU. Do we need to take a brief recess, or yes? Okay, we'll take a brief recess for a few minutes, and then we'll go back on the record. Thank you all.